always good for me to have an opportunity to be back at Bethlehem. My name is Margie Fiedler. I am a member here, not here often, as I serve as the executive director of Flathead Lutheran Bible Camp. And it's just great to be here. Today, also, Richie Withicombe, if you haven't met Richie, is our wilderness and environmental education director, working with our school groups and all our wilderness programs in the summer. But Bethlehem is one of the, if you're not aware, is one of the 55 congregations that own and operate the Bible Camp. In fact, Bethlehem was one of the, well, the first. They gave a leave of absence to Reverend Almon Johnson so he could visit all these other congregations to start the Bible Camp. And believe it or not, that's 80 years ago. We will be 80 years in 2023. So thank you, Bethlehem, for your continued support to provide so graciously in so many ways for this ministry of yours in the out-of-doors. I'm thankful for Pastor Scott, who serves on our board of directors, for Jana and Bill Purcell, who serve as the ambassadors to tell the story of the camp here, for the land that Bethlehem has at the site, 17 miles south of here, for the wonderful office space that we share over here in the Headland Building, for Kent and his gracious care for the building and for us as staff. For Marguerite, where's Marguerite Dahlgren, who served as the administrator here for, administrative assistant for, I think, 25 years. Amazing. I still go out to camp and people ask me if I'm Marguerite. So it's fun. And I've been here 11 years. Don Stadler, who is on our maintenance team, who's right now building a sauna out at camp. You need to come check that out when it gets snowy this winter if we get it going. And for all of those of you who remodeled one of our cabins a few years ago, we still hear, campers just love that cabin, and thank you for raising the money and for remodeling that. Just recently, women, Marianne and Janann and Jana Thompson, Janann Beller, they put together a wonderful women's retreat, and thank you for your work on that. And the list goes on and on and on. You give in so many ways. Thank you for your gifts, financial gifts, as a congregation and as individuals. You make sure that no one is ever turned away because of inability to pay. We are beginning to recruit staff. Richie, that's one of his big jobs. And we're looking for wonderful young adults for summer of 2023. And we're also doing an adopt-a-staff member program, where we're going to hook people and congregations up who adopt a staff member so that they can get to know someone and really pray for them over the summer, because it is a tough job. I was just talking to one of the teachers earlier this morning, and it's a tough job out there with kids, a lot of anxiety. So we want the best staff that we can have. So begin now to pray that God leads these young adults to camp to serve this summer. We are open year-round, and we have many, many retreats coming up. Richie will be leading a men's, fathers, grandfathers, uncles, boys' retreat. And the deadline was yesterday, but he told me he would still take reservations today. So if you want to take reserve for that, it's going to be a great retreat. We also have our quilt and craft retreat coming up, and we're going to be doing lefse making at it this year too, so that will be fun if you want to learn or rehone your skills on lefse. We have an Advent family retreat coming up, and we're doing a special retreat for third through sixth graders this year between Christmas and New Year's. So if you need to have a break from kids, some of our summer staff will be coming back to lead that wonderful program. So following worship today, before you go down for coffee and donuts, pick up some things out here in the narthex, including our new summer brochure is out there. Registration opens for summer camp in a couple weeks, November 17th. So be sure to tell people to sign up soon. And you may also want to pick up a copy of our newly adopted strategic plan. We have copies of that out there in the narthex too. So, and I'll be around if any of you have questions, again, about your ministry in the out-of-doors. So thank you again for everything that you do. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, save us from our tendency to focus on our virtues and to deny and overlook our faults. Help us to be honest about all the ways that we fall short of your intentions for us. Forgive us from our tendency to see the sins and shortcomings of others. Give us courage to look at our sisters and brothers as you look upon them, as your beloved, cherished children. Help us to receive and welcome others as you welcome each of us. We pray in your name, the one who came among us to save sinners, only sinners. Amen. This is kind of a crazy parable that we heard this morning. What came to mind for you when you heard it? Who was Jesus speaking to? What did Jesus have hope that they would learn from hearing this parable? In verse 9, Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. We can assume Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, who were well educated in Scripture, and they followed the letter of the law. And then the tax collector, the scum of the earth, people did not like tax collectors, was pardoned? Can you imagine how this was heard by those Pharisees? What lesson is there in this parable for us? Sometimes it feels like we are caught in the "I'm glad I'm not like them" approach to life. I'm glad I'm not like this Pharisee who's glad he's not like the tax collector. This parable is difficult. It's hard not to compare ourselves to others. From the very beginning as infants, we're compared to how tall we are and what we weigh, development signs. And school children and youth are compared all the time through numerous tests, how they compare to others in their class, in the state of Montana, in the country, and even in the world. The list goes on, and sometimes we make evaluations about how we wish others would be more like us. Such as, "I'm just tired of doing everything here at the church. A few of us do all the work around here. Why doesn't anybody else step up?" Are those people that we feel like, you know, work the system? They just need to get a job. Mark Twain once wrote, "Most people are bothered by passages in Scripture which they cannot understand. But as for me, I always notice the passages in Scripture that trouble me the most are the ones that I do understand." This gospel bothers me, and maybe you too, because as crazy as it is and how it feels like a trap, we somehow can see ourselves in it. I ran across a definition of righteousness recently. Righteousness is not about how good you are, but about your relationship with God. A righteous person is someone who knows they are totally and completely dependent on God for everything. Not unlike those silly sheep who are totally dependent on their master. The Pharisee may have known the law better than the tax collector, but both were dependent upon God for salvation, and both needed God's love and grace and mercy. Comparisons are not the sin, but self-righteousness maybe is. That of being confident of our righteousness, especially when smugly or moralistically or intolerant of the opinions and behaviors of others, because it breaks our relationship with God. Two people came to the temple to pray, and one prayed, "Oh, I thank God I am not like those right-winged extremists." Or, "Thank you, God, I am not like one of those left-wing crazy liberals." The other person prayed, God, you and I both know that I've got nothing for which to commend myself. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus says the two men went home from praying that day, and one was justified and one wasn't. It wasn't that one was a sinner and the other wasn't. Both had sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Both were in need of Jesus, who came to save sinners, only sinners. Jesus said to us, when you show up to pray, come as you are. You are the one whom Jesus awaits. Luke in this gospel was depicting Jesus as a savior of anyone who learned about Jesus and became to believe and follow Jesus. As we prepare for the meal today to receive the body and blood of Jesus, we pray together, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus reminds us over and over, I have not come for the righteous, but for the sinners, only sinners. In order to be Christian, a follower of Jesus, and to be saved and rescued by Jesus, the only requirement is that you are a certified sinner, as we are both saint and sinner. Jesus is mocking our ideas of who we think God is, how we think of God as a God of reward and punishment, how we think that God is a God who only loves us when we are good or righteous, or that our righteousness counts for something. And if we don't get it from the parable, perhaps we will get it from the meal we will share today. In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus gave himself to those who were neither righteous nor humble, giving his body, his blood, his life, his death. It's all about God's love, grace, and mercy. Once I was speaking at a church in Washington, and there was an entrance, there was a sign above the door as you entered, and it said, only sinners welcome here. And as I left that congregation, the sign inside that door going outside said, your sins are forgiven. Now go and be Christ's hands and feet in the world. As we hear the words of forgiveness and grace this day, let us humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Let us look at all who we encounter this week with compassion and care. Yes, we will fall short of the glory of God. And yes, we will compare ourselves to others. And yes, we will make mistakes. But the good news is Christ died for sinners. Only sinners. Thanks be to God. Amen.